Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us once again. I am your host, Cece Cole, Editor-in-Chief of Silky Undress Magazine. And the hour of today belongs to a wonderful woman that you will hear from shortly, who's doing a fantastic job in Volusia County in Florida. But first, I do want to give you an update on what we've been doing with Silky Undress Magazine, the lifestyle of the lady CEO. We've had a fabulous past 6 months. We've been working on some dynamic projects within the various different communities nationwide. And we have some really great programs coming up in the future. So we have been away for a while, but we are here today, and we're going to start back a program with Commissioner Cassandra Reynolds from Volusia County here in the state of Florida. Commissioner Reynolds have a really great track record of doing some fantastic things within the community, and you will hear from her shortly. In the current issue of Silky Undress that's currently out right now, we have had a tremendous response to that magazine, and I can tell you that we were totally amazed with our presence internationally, how well we're actually doing in that market. We've done our surveys, and we looked at our numbers, and I tell you, we are really so thankful for all the continued support, and that women are really living Silky Undress cover to cover. They're not only reading it, but they're living it. And we really do appreciate that. I just want to give you a snapshot of where we are right now with our numbers. Actually, we went up to 170,000 viewers of a magazine last month, and that is really tremendous. And in terms of our international market, we're actually up to 4,000 internationally. So I thank you so very much for your continued support. Continue to tell us exactly what you want to see there so that we can make sure that we are catering to your needs and your desires. So thank you so very much. We do have Commissioner Reynolds on the line with us, and without further ado, I'm going to bring on this wonderful, fantastic, dynamic public servant on the line and hear a little bit more about her and what she's doing in Volusia County in Daytona Beach.
You see.
Good morning, Commissioner Reynolds. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Fine.
Well, great. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning on the Silky Undress Talk Radio Show. We are live, and we are anxiously waiting to hear from you about all the wonderful things you're doing there in Volusia County. And just tell us exactly where you are, what your name is, what's your title, so viewers can get a little bit more familiar with who you are.
Okay, well, you sort of gave me a promotion there, Cece. I'm a city commissioner in Daytona Beach, Florida. That is in Volusia County.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a city commissioner for Zone 6 in Daytona Beach, the world's most famous beach.
It is. Okay, so tell us why you said that. Why is the most famous beach? I know, but our listeners do not know.
Well, we've had that title for we coined that many years ago, probably before my time, and so it's something that we've hung on to. It was probably because that we had the Spring Breakers. We were known for that, and also for our racing, Daytona International Speedway, where the most famous race is held.
That's right. I was going to say it's fabulous. It's the championship races. That's absolutely correct. And I must tell you that it is quite famous, actually. I had friends come from all over, you know, my son, his friends, and even his current classmate. You know, you think about them, and every time it's spring break, you know there's going to be thousands that are migrating to that famous beach right there in Daytona, and it's absolutely beautiful. I love going over there just for karaoke.
Well, the numbers for our spring break and Black College Reunion have dwindled significantly in the past maybe 2 or 3 years. But now we're trying to take on a more of a family orientation. for tourism and the beach goers, so that we can still keep that economy up. And it is just great. I mean, that beach, you can't beat it.
Well, that's great. Now, Commissioner Reynolds, you are completing your third time, your third term as Daytona Beach City Commissioner, and you have a solid record of achievements, and you have three top priorities that you target for that area. Well, let's talk about your top priorities and why you think they're extremely important to your constituents there in Daytona Beach.
Okay, well, I do want to let you know that my priorities for this year are infrastructure, economic development, and reduction in crime. I did have some priorities, you know, throughout each cycle, each term, and some of them.
Let's talk about your top priorities and why you think those top priorities are important for your area.
Oh, okay. Well, infrastructure. Daytona Beach is an older city, and one of the oldest ones in Volusia County. And our infrastructure, especially our utilities, underground utilities, and our streets are showing signs of it, with water pipes breaking, you know, occasionally, and roads needing resurfacing. And this is not, you know, unique to Daytona Beach. This is throughout, well, really, the country, especially with President Obama's putting up the stimulus for infrastructure and projects that you can complete rapidly. But that's one of my top priorities because I do represent what was known as an underserved area of the city. And one of the things that I was able to accomplish last year, believe it or not, well, of course, that I advocated for and did get accomplished was surfacing of all city streets. Now, I know you would think in this day and time that you would not have that, you know, issue, but there were not many, a few streets that were still dirt roads. And some of those were in my zone specifically, not all of them, but I did advocate for and did get done the surfacing of all streets. So now all of our streets are paved in Daytona Beach. So that remains a top priority because of we need some more streets in the city resurfaced, and especially to have our underground utilities refurbished.
Well, and that's important because we are in a state where hurricanes just really love to pay us visits, and I think that that's very important. I remember in 2004, for those who did not have the underground utilities, that there was a problem with having no access to service in terms of electricity for weeks upon a time. So that's very important to do all the wiring underground to modernize, to keep up with what's going on in terms of the hurricanes and the disasters that we experience in Florida.
Yeah, yes, it is. And that is a very costly project. I think it takes something like maybe $5 million for a mile or shorter. But also without our pipes up under the city, you know, there are water pipes, and sewage pipes and lines. They're rather old.
Okay. And so what do you think are some of the things that I know that your whole thing is improving the quality of life for the people that's there in your district.
Right.
What do you feel, and how do you tend to do that? I know you have a lofty task there, and you've been doing quite well. So I know you had an agenda on your last cycle, and I'm sure you've gone upon completion of that and ready to go into something new. How do you bring that all together?
Okay, well, first of all, I listen to, you know, the constituents and things that they want and need. And one of the things that they are continue to be interested in and continue to want is, better looking neighborhoods. So I work closely with our code enforcement office in trying to get properties brought up to code. And it's rather difficult in these times of economic times, but one of the things that we want to get accomplished, that I want to get accomplished, is to have funds or grants available for those who do not have the means to bring things up to code. And so that's one of the things I'm working on there, too. So that, you know, goes towards our better-looking neighborhoods and also police protection, you know, crime. That's another one, reduction of crime. It's another one of my priorities. And I must say we have our police force now is I'm rather proud of them. I don't know if you've heard of our police chief, Michael Chickwood, but he's a very outgoing and community-oriented person. And so we're seeing in the community where now the police and the residents, that relationship is on a very good even keel.
And that's very important for the safety because, you know, as citizens, we need to feel that we can rely on them
right.
and that we can trust them. So the force in that relationship is vitally important to actually turning it around. Now, let's talk about seniors. Do you have any programs for your seniors which are near and dear to my heart?
Oh, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, about a year or two ago, I started a what we call Senior Oasis. It's a program for senior citizens. Well, me being one, 55 and older.
No way. You sound so young. You're doing great. You are young. At 55, that's young. You're not a senior. Are you an officially senior yet?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm over 55.
Seniors are getting younger and younger.
I'm telling you. Yes, now 60 is the new 30.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
But there was a program we did not really have any coordinated program for seniors in the city, through the city. So started initially in my zone, a program at our community center where the seniors could come during the day. Well, it's only one day a week right now. And they could have time with other seniors, and we have a lot of different programs. They play cards. They learn to dance. We have educational speakers come in, you know, about the health and the different programs, Medicaid, and teaching them how to use computers, and they're just loving it.
So whenever I can, awesome.
I'm over there, too.
Oh, that's awesome. So you teach them how to use computers. Yeah, because, you know what, it's necessary now. It's very necessary with a lot of things that we're doing to actually try to get computer literate and not necessarily doing anything expensive, just really basic, the basics. You can pay your
right.
bills online. You know, for those who really can't get about and get around, they can actually go to computer and pay most of their bills now, save a lot of money.
Right, and there are volunteers there to help them if they, you know, having problems with actually or don't really want to actually do it, then there's someone there to help them with that or to look up research things for them or whatever they need, you know, assistance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The other thing that I'm really concerned about, my thing is that, especially with my magazine, with Silk Undress, we focus on women, on the lifestyle of lady CEOs, and we're always talking about how we can help have a better lifestyle and enhance the quality of life. And that encompasses family. We talk about the children sometimes. Sometimes we have youth entrepreneurs that are profiled in the magazine. And I find that students, these youth, they're so talented and they have incredible
yeah.
skills. I'm a mentor. And I look at the students, and sometimes I take what they call the most challenging students that are in special classes. Those are my target because I know from experience with my niece that she was one of those children who were classified as being a problem child, and she was one of the most brightest child I've ever met. She would read dictionaries. That was my punishment for her.
Oh, yes.
And so this young lady, now 17, is so incredible, they don't understand what to do with her in school.
Oh,
so, yeah, and so because she's always been very bright. And so I said that to say, in terms, in Daytona Beach, where you are, what are we doing for our youth to foster the growth? Are we cultivating them for leadership positions? What are we doing for our youth? Because I think that is tomorrow. Our youth are tomorrow, and they are so skilled. They're so bright. And I think sometimes we don't put as much energy or resources behind them to see that come to fruition.
Oh, I know. Yes, that is a very hot topic in Daytona Beach, you know, addressing our youth and exactly what to do with them. We do have in our plans, city plans, for an Yvonne Scarlett Golden Cultural and Educational Center. And Yvonne Scarlett Golden was the first African-American mayor of Daytona Beach.
I miss her.
Yes, yes, yes. Because there are a lot of children that are just falling between the cracks. And this center, you know, would help them to give them a place to go after school. I mean, even with the budget cuts, especially with the schools, you know, we're trying to do after-school programs, the city is, and some of our schools and, you know, different organizations have mentoring programs. And also we have universities here, Bethune-Cookman University, my alma mater.
Oh, no, okay. Okay, that's, so you guys are the ones who yell at me every year. I tend to sit on that side, but I'm a rattler. I'm not a rattler, but I vote for rattlers, and I do that purposely. It's so much fun. I'm like, get out of here.
It is, because we all do it in a family sort of way. My best friend is a rattler.
Oh, yeah? Okay, so I wear the rattler colors, and I sit on BCC side. It's hilarious.
It is.
I have the most fun.
But we also have Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That is the world. I mean, it's worldwide in this, but it's headquartered here, and they have the main campus here in Daytona Beach, and it is the best aeronautical school in the world. I mean, and it's not just me saying that; it's those who rate them. And we also have an extension of University of Central Florida here at our Daytona State College campus. Daytona State College was previously Daytona Beach Community College, but now they have a four-year degree, and they've always been, you know, working with them. So in the different schools, you know, they also try to get mentors out to the students, but we don't have not hardly enough. And we are having some problems with our young people, some of our young people throughout the city.
And so, but what's in place to help to not fight it, because it's not a fight, but to help it? Do you think that it really starts at home?
How do
we do that effectively?
Okay, yes, trying to get the parents engaged. I mean, many people say we have missed a generation or two there, and now we're seeing what happens when because we've not paid attention or to their parents, you know, the youth parents. But especially in times like these when parents have to work, you know, two and three jobs, and the children are left to their own devices, a lot of times those devices are not good. And we do have the our Black Ministerial Association that's taking a lead in addressing the problems as well, you know, with trying to get our young men into different programs that they sponsor. And they're not the only group. The Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, they have a young men's program that they've had for years. And so we can see them, these organizations, doing more, you know, and people trying to step up. But it's, well, nothing is overwhelming, but it's a really uphill battle. You know, there's so many of our youth going to juvenile justice system at such an early age, till it's really disheartening. But we're going to keep on trying and fighting.
Okay, great. Well, now, you do a fantastic job over there. Let me ask you, what drove you? What was the determining factor that's that made you say, you know what, I want to take on this challenge. I want to do good for my community. What made you decide to become the commissioner of Daytona Beach? Why commissioner?
Well, I was asked to take on the role from the previous person who had it, and he expired, but he was became ill and asked if I would, you know, take that seat since it was in a, the timing of it was that the city commission itself would appoint the predecessor, but he passed away, Charles Cherry, right before that happened, but the city commission did appoint me. And I've been a social worker all my life, just all of my career. I'm a retired social worker. I was one for 34 years. And it just seemed an extension of what I was doing, you know, really caring for people and trying to see things get done and actually getting something done. That's what it is. I guess just the love of the community. But so I think it's just in my blood, CC.
Okay, okay, you had that drive there.
Yes,
okay, but great.
But I did want to tell you about a program that I have, another program that's very near and dear to my heart, and that is Motorsports Daytona Beach. It's, well, we started it a couple of years ago, a little more than 2 years ago, but I saw it as a, we started as a think tank. But what happened was I went up to Charlotte and saw all that they have up there surrounding motorsports and thought, well, you know, they don't have to have a monopoly on that. You know, maybe we can get some benefits out of motorsports more than what we're getting here in our community. And that would be an economic development engine aside from our tourism, which is our, you know, our largest industry here. Tourism and services. So got together some leaders in the community, and we have representatives from the different universities and colleges, the Chamber of Commerce, Daytona International Speedway, and just the movers and shakers in Daytona Beach. And we started out, I had them to come together, and we started out as a think tank. But out of that evolved our executive committee and then some subcommittees, and I am so proud that our educational subcommittee now has a pilot program in four of our schools, two of our middle schools and two of our high schools, and the focus of it is STEM for science, technology, engineering, and math.
Awesome.
Help, especially, you know, underprivileged children and women, well, anyone, it's open to anyone, but to learn that through using remote control cars, they're 1/10 scale of the race cars, and they have to set them up and learn all of it. It teaches them, you know, with the physics and the math and, you know, just like a real race team. But so that's just one portion of Motorsports Daytona Beach, because, like I say, it's for economic development, but then also it's to have diversity and to have everybody in the community be able to reap some of the benefits that would come through a motorsports industry, not just, you know, even if someone who doesn't like racing, it's not about racing at all, but about the many supportive industries that come along with, you know, if somebody is interested in being a doctor, you know, you have your motorsports, sports medicine, and then you have so many parts of economic development that it reaches. Also, you know, we have people who put up tents and do event planning. And
oh, absolutely. It's economically, it's a residual effect, absolutely.
Yes, and the students, I went up to Charlotte, as a matter of fact, a couple of weekends ago to see their annual race off that they have regarding the same program. And, you know, they have people there who are students there, and it teaches them how to present. You have those who are presenting those, and then you have to go out and get your own sponsors. So you have to learn how to talk to people. And so I'm just in awe of it myself.
No, that's really good. So right now you're doing the pilot program for how many different schools?
Four different schools, two middle schools and two high schools, and then each middle school partners with one of the other high schools. But then when it comes down to the finale, it's every school for himself. And next year would like to bring the annual event to Daytona Beach to our Speedway, and they have schools from all over the nation who participate in it. But it teaches them and gives them an interest. You know, they're having fun and not really realizing that they're learning about all of the sciences and math, but then they can translate that into those other subjects.
Wow, that is really awesome. And so is it a four-year pilot or?
Well, it just depends on how long our funds run out. We're
there you go.
You know, getting funds because it's and we pay the instructors, so it's no strain on the schools, especially now.
So that's pretty much an economic engine, actually, for your area. That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
We want to have the students. We want to prepare them for the future for all this industry that we know we're going to get here.
Absolutely.
So when we get through this crisis, we should be, you know, on par.
Absolutely. That is actually brilliant. So you guys are already investing into the future, and you're starting with our youth, and that also fosters jobs in the community. That is just a fabulous program. That's absolutely fabulous.
Another
I take
program,
my hat off. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just briefly, another program I initiated was Computers for Kids, where we take refurbished computers and distribute them to children, students who do not have computers in the home.
And everything's computerized. When my grandson, my family came to visit me, and I heard my son having like a heightened conversation, and I really wasn't sure who he was talking to. I come out the room, and he's on the video games on the TV with his three-year-old son, and his three-year-old son is beating him. And he's complaining that my grandson is cheating. I'm like, are you serious? Does he know what he's doing? He's like, yeah, he beat me all the time. And I'm thinking, at 3 years
old.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, he says, Ma, the kids are not the same, Ma, as you think they are. He's like, no, leave me alone because I got to beat him this time. I can't let him beat me again. I'm thinking, amazing.
He must be very intelligent, just like your niece. It runs in your family.
Yeah, but you know, I just think that it's not necessarily my family. I think that children nowadays, these kids, they understand more. That for some reason they understand computers, or they just somehow have a natural knack to figure it out.
Yeah.
Younger and younger, I see them when you go into like Walmart, or like any of those electronic stores. You see the children there on the games, trying them out. I'm thinking, do they know what they're doing? And they're young. I'm thinking, I couldn't even grasp the concept or even try to tie my shoe at that age, you know. And these kids are very bright and intelligent nowadays. And I think that putting a computer in their hand at this young age, we can have our next Microsoft, you know. You never know.
Yeah, they're exposed to so much more. And like you say, at an early age, and that really helps out. I think our capacity is going beyond that. One other thing could I mention to you, Cece, when I was talking about Motorsports Daytona Beach, there's a young lady that is on the committee. Her name is Allie Owens, and she is a race car driver with ARCA. And I think that maybe she would be a good person that you may want to, you know, try to interview there too. She did really well. She's from the Daytona Beach area. And she did really well in a race a couple of weeks ago. So,
wow, a lady up there with those guys. That's a power struggle. That's power right there.
She's on the ARCA circuit. I've forgotten what ARCA stands for. But anyway, yes, she races, you know, each weekend with the big boys. So,
well, certainly, I definitely want to follow a conversation with you. You said it's Allie Owen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Definitely. You have to tell me all about her. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we do with Silka Undressed, we always like to look at people like yourself. I call you more or less, I'll call you a pioneer. I always tell women that we can never say that we're not pioneers. So you are. You're leaving a legacy for someone else to follow. You've made your footprint there in Daytona Beach. You've been a social worker for 34 years. So you help countless of families. For those who are aspiring to be maybe not necessarily a commissioner, but a community leader, someone that's looking at you and saying, wow, she's fantastic, I want to be like her. Lend your jewels of wisdom to these young ladies that are aspiring to be.
Oh, jewels, well, to think of others, you know, I've forgotten what the saying is or where it came from, but before you say anything, make sure it's truthful, that it's nice, and it's loving. And carry yourself with respect. You know, don't say or do anything or write anything that you would not mind seeing on the front page of the newspaper tomorrow.
Well, that's like, forget public life.
With cell phones, with cameras and everything. But if you have a passion, that's it. If you have a passion for something, you can do it. If you remain focused and know what your goal is, don't let anybody deter you from that. And keep going forward. You know, you're going to have downfalls, but just keep your eye on the goal and keep going forward. And focus on your goal, and you can make it. Have faith in God and pray, and you'll make it.
Well, that's awesome, and that's some very good sound advice right there. Now, what's your favorite quote? What's the quote that really gets you going, that motivates you every single day?
Well, really, it's let's see, what is he? Might not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time.
Amen.
This too
can't
shall
go
pass.
Wrong with that one.
This too shall pass. Just persevere. It takes a lot of perseverance. And so, and I think, this isn't going too well, but just keep on persevering. And sure enough, things usually come through for you. It might not be the way that you want it.
But it's the way he wants it and the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yes,
is that
exactly.
It?
Yes.
There you go. Well, that is really awesome. I could see why you are so much loved in Daytona Beach. You're very humble and you have a very sweet spirit. And I can see that you're very genuinely concerned about your community. And that you're going to do the best you can to stay on task and make sure that the people there definitely receive the quality of life that you think they should have.
Oh, well, I try, Cece. I try. And it takes a lot of people. I mean, one person can't do it alone. You have a lot of support and people working together. That's what it takes. Well, I was so thrilled when, you know, people did jump on board with my Motorsports Daytona Beach project. And, you know, that. Because it does. It takes a village.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, anything else you would like people to know about the fantastic Commissioner Cassandra Reynolds?
Oh, well, like you say, I'm humble. There's nothing to really...
You what?
Nothing to really know. Let me see. My parents were educators. I'm a native Floridian. Yes, and I'm a graduate of the Great Bethune-Cookman University now. It's a university now. But I did my master's work at Florida State University. And I live in the beautiful world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach.
What great with.
Yes. The mission statement, though, that we have for Motorsports Daytona Beach. Well, our vision is for Daytona Beach to be a diverse city in motion, a great place for family, growth, education, and economic development. So think of Daytona Beach in those terms as well.
Well, I love that, a city in motion. Wow,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that was neat.
Moving forward, a city in motion.
A
city that doesn't stop, keep going and shooting for the stars. I really like that. Well, Commissioner Reynolds, thank you so very much for taking time out your busy schedule to visit us here with the Silk Undress Talk Radio Show. We really do appreciate it, and I will definitely call you later on today or tomorrow to get the information on Ms. Owen, and I will definitely love to have the opportunity to speak with her.
Oh, yes, and thank you so much, Cece. Thank you for your invitation. I really enjoyed it, and I love all the great things that you're doing and reaching out to women of the world.
Well, thank you so very much.
Yeah,
that's our passion. That's our passion.
Well, you've done a great job.
Well, thank you so very much, Commissioner, and you have a wonderful, successful day.
Well, thank you, and the same to all you, your listeners.
Okay, so there you have it, Commissioner Cassandra Reynolds. I tell you that she'll be really fantastic. She has such a humble spirit. She's doing fantastic things in Daytona Beach, at Daytona Beach, as you just heard. And I would encourage you to go online to visit their website and take a look at what's going on in Daytona Beach. And if you're in the area or if you're contemplating a vacation in Florida, please don't forget to stop at Daytona Beach. I know you hear a lot about Orlando, but it doesn't stop there. Continue to go a little further north, and you get to the famous beach where the city is constantly in motion there in Daytona. And they really do have fantastic rentals for the summer. If you look for a summer home, their condominiums are, oh, they're a killer. They're beautiful. So do not discount Daytona Beach. And so I would like to thank all of you for joining us this morning and listening to the Silk Undress Talk Radio Show. We do have some fantastic guests that will be coming up on next week, so please stay tuned. And I will send out the email for all those who are on our email distribution list. And for all you that are here that have marked us as your favorite, I thank you so very much. We just get that report. We got that report this morning that we have 7 more favorites that have marked us. And so we really do appreciate you for joining in and listening to our show and liking it. So thank you so very much and help me achieve my dreams. And then anything that we can do for you, please let us know. You can always reach us at ladyceo@socaundress.com. And we will be there. We answer every single email. And we like to thank you for your continued support, and you all have a wonderful, successful day. And this is your host, Cece Cole, Editor-in-Chief of Silk Undress Lifestyle, Other Lady CEO, International Professional Women's Magazine.